Stephen, you've seen him before because he was on photos. He was in photos that I, from when I was in India, I preached in his church. I believe, Stephen, did you plant that church that you?
I was working there,
Right. Yes. And he was the music leader. He does everything. Okay. He was the music leader, and he was the singer, and then he became the leader of the church in Western India, and then he came here. And so he's gonna share that and introduce himself and give us an idea of what he's been up to, and then share the word with us. So, welcome, Stephen. Mic on? Okay,
Check.
good.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Greetings to you in the most precious and the beautiful name for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And first of all, I would like to give all the glory and praises to God and Him alone for bringing us here. And we would really thank Pastor Keith and his family for graciously hosting us. And it's been such a pleasure to be here. And I have known Pastor Keith for a long time now. And we first met when he visited Goa, where we were serving. And the host missionary, Diane Daly, I'm not sure how many of you knew, he says that Pastor Keith was his all-time favorite guest that he ever hosted. So, and we are from Goa in India. That's where we are from. And we moved to the US 11 months ago. And often people ask us, this is a very common question, like, what brought you here? And how you ended up here? And for the people who have time, we give a long answer. But the short one is God brought us here. And we came here 11 months ago, like August 15th. And before coming here, as Pastor shared, we served with the BIC in West India region. And before we begin the sermon, I would like to give a brief update about the BIC US World Missions and some updates and my current role and what do I do there. And here we go. So our vision for the BIC World Missions is a church for every people, the gospel to every person, a mission from every church, Jesus worshiped in the nation. And here's some updates, like some of you might have read these. This is from the annual report from the last year, 2024. There were 42 international church plants were supported through the BIC World Missions. 45 initiative supported through the partnership handbook. There are different projects that come across to the BIC World Missions, and we support 97 ministry scholarship awarded to international leaders. And $162,868 sponsored to 815 children in the SPICE program. These are the hostels, living hostels in India and Nepal, different regions. And here's a snapshot of the prayer map, which shows our missionaries across the world. And after the service, I'll be at the table. You can get a copy of your own. It shows where we are. And my role as a title would be mine would be this is Global Ministry Systems Coordinator. Systems can be interchanged with the finance because I deal with lots of financial matters. For example, these all locations have budgets, and I work with the budget and missionaries working their payrolls, sending the funds to different locations, reviewing the fund, reviewing different reports. And also for the denomination, BIC US World denomination, US denomination. I do finance work in budgeting and stuff like that. And one of my greatest joy of this job, of my current role, is that I get to hear a lot of good news and what God is doing across the world, different regions. And it really gives me joy. And it kind of, when I was serving in Goa, I knew what was happening in there and my region. But as this position I came in to serve, I hear like different places how God, even in midst of difficulty, how God is using. So I get the joy to hear and also get to hear the challenges that our missionaries or people across the world face just to be a Christian. It's not even just to do something, it's just to be a Christian, just to follow God, to attend a Sunday service. So to be a Christian or to follow Christ, there's a lot of cost involved. You know, the people, many people different across the regions, they come across, they have to sacrifice or they go through many troubles. And today, I would like to go on a small journey through the scriptures and also a few experience from India and like what it really means to follow Christ. Whether we acknowledge it or not, wherever we are all called to pay the price to follow Christ. It's not easy. It just varies what God allows in each our lives, but it's the price we have to pay to follow Christ. And as we meditate on the scriptures, I would like to share a few brief update on India. So when I say India, it's like I'm not trying to generalize, this is whole India. We would like to speak from our perspective, our region, and also my service, serving in India for a long time. I have come across some of the things that I will be sharing. It's personal, some of the personal experience, or I have heard firsthand account, and we will go through that. Please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verse 25 to 35. Luke chapter 14, 25 to 35. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower, won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Or if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to a war and against another king, won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? If it is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile, it is thrown out. Whoever has ear, let them hear." So as we meditate today, my prayer is that may our hearts be stirred and we will respond to God's calling in the way that God is expecting us to do. So here, Jesus is walking and the large crowd were following. And we see that many people followed Jesus with many kind of expectations. Some people were thinking he would be a military king who will overthrow the government and he'll become a king, like that kind of. But here, Jesus is giving them a different kind of picture. And he's on his way to Jerusalem and he's telling them, it's not going to be easy. Following him, obeying him, and joining his mission is not going to be easy. And the interesting part of this passage is, what I find is, Jesus, he's not talking about who can be his disciple, rather he's going, who cannot be his disciple. The first thing he says, who does not hate his family or his own life? In a culture where the family loyalty meant so much, it's one of the Ten Commandments, what Jesus was telling to them meant pretty radical. And it's one of the controversial things that I hear from India, like people debate, what kind of religion is this, which says, hate your mother, hate your parents. And the Bible teaches us to love our parents, our family. Here, the word hate does not mean active hate, but it's kind of, when it comes to God, no relationship matches that. Let me give you an example. In India, it often happens that when a person from another religion, he accepts Jesus, their family usually tells, some of the families, they say, if you accept Christ, you know, you're dead to us. And they're not joking. They really mean it. And it happens, and it means that choosing Jesus, it might mean dishonoring their own parents. And I have met families that they haven't spoken to their kids for years because they accepted Jesus. I recently heard a man, a young man, who was getting married because he accepted Jesus. His family hasn't spoken to him for 2 years, and he was getting married, no one would come. So church became his family. So what do you do in this kind of situation when you have to choose Jesus or your family? That's what Jesus is telling. You choose him. And this seems like a clear-cut choice where you say, okay, it's Jesus, either Jesus or family. But what about, the question is, what about if the question is between Jesus and our friends? What about Jesus or the culture norms? Who do we choose? Whether it's Jesus or peer pressure, whom do we choose? So Jesus is expecting or encouraging us that we follow him. It's not just about the life and death situation where there's clear to, you have to accept Jesus or leave. Not just that. Even in our day-to-day life, in our small decisions, how we are honoring God is an important question. Because Jesus always reminds, he takes our relationship very seriously. He has died for us. Next thing he says, who does not carry cross and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. And this cross means suffering, and we are not talking about just a menial inconvenience in a schedule or small here and there adjustment. This is serious. What we're talking about is serious. If you have been around toddlers, some of you might have experienced that it's very difficult to say no to them, right? When they make their cute faces, can I have this? And things like that, it's very difficult. You know, who is more difficult to say no to than them? It's us, our own self. Because there's always a temptation to turn away from God. In every day, people might not be, it's all happening inside. There's always, choose our own way. It's always a temptation to choose temporary pleasures. There's always to sneak back into our old habits or own life. So Jesus is telling you, deny yourself and carry the cross. And carry the cross, it could mean rejection. It could mean Jesus is being honest, saying that it's going to cost you. It's going to be tough. And showing love when it's very hard, that's caring. Okay, these two statements were already heavy, and Jesus keeps on going two more examples to explain his. One is builder planning to build but hasn't planned good enough, then what's going to happen? There's a lot of shame. There is another king who is going to war. Okay, if he didn't plan well, what is going to happen? So what is the point? He's talking about you should know the cost. You should know the cost. And this isn't just a New Testament concept. Even in the past, in the Old Testament, we see beginning from Abel, who just did sacrificed what he was supposed to do. And what he did, he was killed. We go throughout the Bible, Joseph, who chose not to sin, he was thrown into jail. We see David, Daniel, prophets, all the people who chose to live a godly life, a righteous life, they were punished because following God, following Jesus is not easy. Let me share a glimpse of what it costs to follow in India. Isolation. One of the ways, like I have heard friends, like working in a big factory, like in a lunch break, nobody wants to sit with you. It's hundreds of employees, but you're sitting by yourself because you are a Christian. You might mean, I've heard so many people, even my own family, it's becoming very difficult to find a house to rent because landlord do not want to give house for the Christians. You keep on, it's not that their houses are not available, but they don't want to give house for the Christians. You could be expelled from village. You could be beaten. Physical assault, you know. If you are caught in India, like giving a tract or you're doing an open evangelism, it's a common practice is that a group of 30, 40 people will come. They will beat you. They will make you tear all the material, Bible and everything. And if it's in a village setting, I know a person I met and I worked with. He was beaten, all the people threw him down, kicked him, and took him to the temple, forcibly put all the tikas, and then made him chant their God's name. And if it's in a village setting, it can also, you might get a donkey ride where your head can be shaved, you can get a garland of shoes. That's what happens just following Christ and sharing the gospel. Mob attack on the church. This is the most common thing happens in India across the board. One Sunday, you're just worshiping and singing song. All of a sudden, 100, 200 people barge in. They start breaking things. They'll start setting the fire. And they beat people. And the funny thing is, there's a law, that anti-conversion law, which I will talk in a few minutes. They will call the police once the assault has happened. And the police come and arrest the pastor and the leaders. So that kind of things are very common that keeps happening. See, here is this is India. The red portion shows that already currently there is a legal law that's called anti-conversion law that is already in effect. And the blue one shows that these states are considering, they're already in the process to implement. What does this law do? By definition, it says it prohibits anyone from converting from one religion to other religion by coercion or some kind of allurement. But in practicality, that is being misused. So under this law, even if you want to take a baptism, you have to go to the government and you have to go at least 30 to 60 days before. You have to do the affidavits saying that I am taking baptism on my own accord without anyone forcing me. And you have to convince government that I want to become a Christian. And it's a very cumbersome, it's a very brutal process. In this law, a third party can file a case against you. For example, just you're worshiping here, someone going by, and they will say, okay, I think there's a conversion happening. You might not be a victim to file a case, someone else. I have heard cases wherein a Christian people celebrating a kid's birthday, they were arrested because someone going on the road, oh, they're singing song, conversion is happening, so they can. People are arrested for owning two Bibles. Why do you need two Bibles, they ask. You need one. So you're taking one more because you're planning to convert someone else with the other Bible. So these things are happening. Pastors have been jailed for many, many months, and the cases keep pending, and the Christian lawyers who work on honorarium or pro bono, they are overwhelmed how many cases they will fight. But Jesus gives us peace beyond our understanding, but he's with us. And but he also says there's a cost when following him. The third point Jesus says is, those who do not give up everything they have cannot be my disciple. But this kind of sounds demanding. Why? Jesus' burden is supposed to be light, right? Why it's so difficult? Here's why. Because at the end, Jesus says, you are the salt. Okay. You know, just a bunch of people who accepted Jesus and just we are on the journey, we'll just live and go to heaven. We are the salt. And we are part of the mission. Salt brings flavor. It is a preservative. And back in the days, it was very precious commodity. And Jesus is comparing us. Even though if it is in the small in quantity, when we put in dish, it gives the flavor to the whole dish. Like small, and salt is like consists of all small grains. Like we are all part of those small salt who are called to be part of Jesus' mission. I often preach and I begin saying that when we look at Jesus' missions or Jesus' life, how he served, I always say there are three categories or the three broad areas Jesus worked. One was personal relationship with the Father. It's very, very apparent and how it's written. Jesus was like, Father and I are connected. And often we see Jesus going and praying. And second thing we see is that Jesus training the next line of leadership. That was important time he spent. And the third thing is evangelism. So usually when I preach, I choose one of those areas. Oh, we are talking today about making disciple or training others or evangelism. This sermon, this today what's speaking to us, this covers all three. Our relationship to God, making others disciples, and evangelism. And this is not easy. This means paying the cost, making disciples, choosing God for everything, over everything, in everything, denying ourselves, and carrying the cross even unto the death. So today, this morning, the invitation is choosing Jesus above all. What are the areas that Jesus is asking us to choose him over him? Is it people? Is it a habit? What is it? Or is it my own comfort and convenience that I look for? Am I ready to pay the price? And Jesus is inviting us to deny ourselves and carry the cross. Give up everything when it comes to Jesus. Be salt of the earth. One of my friends, when preaching, she used an example of puzzles, big puzzle. You know, when you have a lot, puzzle with lots of pieces, initially it doesn't make sense when you look at a puzzle. But as you keep, you know that each puzzle piece is important. It makes the picture. This way, here, everyone who's sitting in this room this morning, we are all part of that puzzle. In God's redemptive work of the world, God's plan for saving the world. It's all we need to ask is, God, how you want me to take part in this mission? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to serve? It's not, as I said, because the cost is not just because, oh, we are just, now we will live a nice life and we will go to heaven. It's, we are called to be the salt. Salt, it's kind of showing God's love and his character, displaying his character and his love through us. And God is asking, inviting us. It's not like something we have to go out and do something. God is already at work. Amen. He's already at work and he's inviting us to participate in that. It's our privilege to participate in that work. And it's not like the burden is not on us. There is no way we can change someone's heart. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. But God invites us to show the love, show the kindness. God invites us to speak the truth, and God will do his part. Amen. So this morning, as we have listened to this word and we will sing a last song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Let us all reflect the cost that we need to pay. What does it mean to be part of the mission? Jesus, where are you calling me? No one is excluded in this mission, great missions. We are all part of it, an important part of it, without which the picture doesn't come together. We're all, so it's just asking, God, where do I fit? How do you want me to serve? How do you want me to be part of this mission, and how can I be salt? And in the world mission, there is a way you can join, is you can join us in praying, different supporting, and if you feel this morning God is calling you to go somewhere, to do something, whether it could be local, global, long term, short term, we have ways to work with you. And but it's between you and God. Ask God it today. Let's get uncomfortable. Let our hearts be stirred, and let's not see what's convenient or which is more comfortable or which I can do within my boundaries. Let's go beyond our boundaries. Let's do something different. Let's close our eyes and we pray. And as the worship team comes and leads us in prayer, I invite you, if you would like, you can stand up and respond to God's invitation and ask God, God, it's not easy. There are people around the world, our brothers and sisters, children, who are paying the price, who are suffering just to attend a service, just to pray. God, thank you that we have an opportunity to come here to openly sing, praise, and be part of a church. Lord, but this is not all about this, Lord. You have called me to be part of this mission. Oh, such a great privilege of me you have given to me, God. Such an honor, God, in the work that you are doing. God, and I choose you over everything. Jesus, I'm ready to carry the cross, and I'm not going to look back. I know it's going to cost, but I know it's worth it. Jesus, I'm ready to give up everything for you. As we sing this song, may I invite you to stand up and respond to God's invitation. If you would like to come front, or if you would like to come in the aisle, however the Lord leading you, respond to God's invitation this morning. Shall we sing the song?